Don't you realize you've just been brainwashed by corporate propaganda?
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Lisa's a grade A moron.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. Ho, ho, ho! December 17th, nearly Christmas. All your shopping done?
No.
Okay.
No, not there yet.
Then things are just as they should be, right?
Don't tell my wife that.
Don't tell my wife. Oh, that's awesome. Well, we're the financial guys. Mike Hayflick, Mike Sparazza in studio today, live, in for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. And actually just ran into Mike. We heard his voice here at just outside the studio, which was right at our 305 Spindrift address. And we said, what is that? It's like it's like a divine intervention moment. Mike Lomas is whispering in our ear before the show, but always wants to make sure things go smoothly. Pam in studio too, making sure that it does. Buffalo Bills, Miami tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the weather event there. That's going
to
be fun.
I'm telling you, this little light snowfall. I'm saying light snowfall, of course, because I'm comparing that to the 5 to 6 feet that we got a couple weeks ago. Yep. Wake up to a foot of snow, and now that's light. Ay, ay, ay. Backbreaking.
I'm headed to the game tonight, so I'm a little concerned. Everybody that knows me and people in this office especially, I need maximum heat at all times, so this is not going to be easy for me.
Tell us what you got lined up here to stay warm. What do you got?
Well, you see the table over there. I got about 16 layers top to bottom, a snowsuit, and a long football jacket that I wear when I coach, so I should be all right. We'll see.
You're going to take part in some pregame activities, a little football, tailgating?
We'll have some beers and some food and keep it responsible, of course. Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen here tonight? Now, I know, you know, being a Buffalo guy, clearly you want the Bills to win, but it just worries me seeing this Tyreek Hill when he gets the ball.
Yep.
He knows where he's going to go when he catches the ball or gets a handoff. So my fear is there's going to be all sorts of snow everywhere. And nobody will be able to stop a guy like him.
It's not a bad thing, though, in this weather. It slows you down. And that also can cause issues with defenders falling down, trying to cover guys. But we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting game and a huge game for the NFL tonight. It's exciting that it's in Buffalo, and we'll get to showcase the Buffalo weather and the Buffalo fans. So it's good.
Well, yeah. Call in with your predictions, folks. We take calls all throughout the show, all the way to 3 o'clock. Don't wait till the second hour. Lots of guests lined up, too. If you do want to reach us, though, 844-434-4TFG. Text line 716-817-0716. And, of course, to reach us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. We do have offices here. Our flagship office, 305 Spindrift, near Worley in Williamsville, New York. We have offices in Batavia, Rochester, and even South Florida. So you can also find us on Twitter, at FINGUYS, financialguysmedia.com. Three podcasts throughout the week, folks, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mike Lomas and Ann just recorded the 12 days of COVID, so that's going to be released. That'll be next week. You and I, we did one, you and Mihailu,
yep.
Stefan.
Yep.
We say Mihailu because it's Mike and Mihailu.
Yep.
And, of course, Mike and Glenn get the week started on Tuesdays, right?
So Tuesday. Stefan and I are Tuesdays.
Ah, then Mike
and Glenn.
Right in the dead center of the week. All
and
right,
you
cool.
and I finish the week, yeah.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, financial guys covering lots and lots of things. Some great guests today. John Root will be joining us from Turning Point USA. Paul Meeks, one of our chartered financial analysts and part of our Independent Solutions Wealth Management team. And talk a little bit about the markets because it's been a year of the Federal Reserve raising that federal funds rate. And it's been this vicious kind of it wears on you, this cycle of where is inflation? What will the Fed do? How will the markets react? And Paul Meeks will come on a little bit later in the show to talk a little about that.
Yeah, we got Sheriff Daniels coming up, too, from Cochise County, Arizona, to tell us about the wide-open border that the left absolutely refuses to talk about.
Yeah.
They act as if it's not an issue. However, Gavin Newsom, to his credit, said this week, this is a problem. And it's shocking to hear somebody like Gavin Newsom say that. But they're starting to admit it's a problem because now they're all going to their cities and states. They don't like it when it comes to their backyard, but if it's Texas, Arizona, no big deal.
I also think I heard something like from Mayor Adams of New York City doing something similar, saying it's getting a little overwhelming having all these illegal immigrants coming into our city. Mike, I think that that's just a cry for more money.
Yeah.
Right? It's them saying, hey, Joe, you know what? If we're going to keep doing this, we need more funds sent our way.
And something tells me they'll get it. That's just how that seems to work. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested to talk to Sheriff Daniels because we haven't talked to him, Mike, since we interviewed him probably a few months ago. And, you know, every time he comes on, he's more and more angry and unhappy. So we'll see how he does today because him and his team of sheriffs and deputies and Border Patrol, that they're struggling down there, and they've been struggling since the first time we talked to him in, what, early 2021 maybe?
Yep. So. And I know we're going to get numbers from him. He's always prepared with all sorts of data and statistics. And literally, when we've interviewed him during our podcast, there are times where he said, I just had to hurry in and squeeze in this 20 minutes with you guys because I've got two officers that are chasing what we hear they become are the gotaways. They try to chase down these guys coming across the border, trucks full of people, fentanyl flooding over this border, killing Americans, and sometimes accidentally killing, right? Mike, we were talking about cops opening trunks of cars. Suddenly they're going through like a seizure because they've overdosed on fentanyl, not even knowing. It's really a disgusting, disgusting mess that seems to be completely ignored by our federal government. And, I mean, all the Republicans along the border are doing everything they could possibly do, even stacking these big shipping containers just to try to keep people out.
Well, Mike, I mean, the one time we talked to him, he was actually late to our interview. I don't know if you remember this, but he was late to our interview, not because his team was chasing the gotaways and the cartels, but because the cartels were chasing his deputy. Remember that? They were chasing his deputy because they were unhappy about something. I mean, it's a never-ending problem, and it gets more and more frustrating by the week because the left and more importantly, our president and vice president and Mayorkas just refuse to address it. They refuse to go to the border. They refuse to act as if it's a problem. It's almost unbelievable. And I don't say that very often about this administration because everything is believable with them. But it's becoming unbelievable to see the lack of care for the United States of America as we're funding Ukraine's border.
Yes. Billions of dollars flow over there.
Yeah.
One of the outgoing Republicans, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Tucker Carlson, just had a classic take on what he thinks of as the irrelevant congressman from Illinois. And I think we really should talk a little bit about Adam Kinzinger. Remember, and he's the guy that was on, he was on that special committee and along with Liz Cheney.
Yep.
And we got to play a little of Tucker. We're going to have to do that. I know one of the other things I listened to a bit this week was Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro is a bright, bright guy. And he's talking about the Republican Party weakness and just how, you know, the difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, where, you know, like them or not, the Democrats do not sway from some of their core beliefs.
Right.
They don't let any of the really, you know, progressives like the AOCs interrupt what they're really going to try to achieve. And I think you look at Adam Kinzinger, you look at someone like Liz Cheney, and you just really hope and pray that some of the new Republicans coming into Congress are going to make a difference. But for goodness sake, they can't even get the Speaker of the House elected in, right?
Yeah.
They're having issues within their own party about who should be the Speaker. And it's so infuriating. I'm going to play a little bit of Ben Shapiro here right now and get his thoughts.
I challenge you this. Find me a bill in which 12 Democrats moved against a core belief system of their own party and voted with Republicans for cloture on the bill. That sort of stuff does not happen.
No, but on the other hand, Republicans seem to leak over the aisle.
Yep.
And spend billions and billions of dollars. What do you think they're doing, Mike? Are they saying, okay, we're going to come across the aisle, we're going to vote with you this time, but promise us that when XYZ happens, you're on our side.
Well, and this is why I want different leadership in the Republican Party in terms of the Ronna McDaniels, in terms of the Mitch McCarthy's, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy's.
Right.
Too many MCs there. This is the problem that they always try. The right always tries, and Mike and Glenn say this perfectly. They try and, oh, we'll work with you. Let's play together. Let's play nice. And then the left doesn't do that. And to the left's credit, we don't give the left a lot of credit on the show, but I will give them credit. They don't give a rat's behind about anything other than themselves. And that's almost what you have to be in politics, because the way we are today, you cannot play nice. There's no such thing as playing nice with either side right now. You need to just get it done, and the right can't do that.
That's right. And I always say you just got to slow down the freight train, because the freight train's coming at us like at 130 miles per hour.
Yep.
You've got to get it done. Don't waver. Here's more from Ben Shapiro.
In fact, it's a major issue for Democrats when you have one Democrat, like Kyrsten Sinema, who now has to re-register as an independent, right, because she strayed from the party orthodoxy. She was so castigated by her own party. All she got all day long from her own party was just crap for being a person who strayed from the orthodoxy inside the Democratic Party, from the homogeneity of the Democratic Party. Same thing for Joe Manchin. In other words, Democrats do have an ideological center. So they may not have tons of party power, but they do have an ideological center, which is how Nancy Pelosi, with a bare five-seat majority, was able to ram through the greatest spending binge in the history of the United States. She was able to do that because there is an ideological center. Meanwhile, the Republicans have no ideological center, and they have no party power. And so basically, you now have the specter inside the House of the Republicans not even being able to get their bleep together enough to elect a Speaker of the House.
Yeah, and I think that's so telling, right? You actually win. I thought it was clever. One of the pundits had said, listen, red wave or no red wave, the size of the gavel is the same size whether you win or lose.
Yep.
You know, once you get the gavel, you've got power. You can lead committees. You can decide on what hearings, what the agenda is going to be.
Yep.
But the darn Republicans can't even decide who's going to be the Speaker of the House. Like, there's contention in their own party. How are they going to get anything done, anything meaningful done?
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to, I think there's a lot of people on the right now, and to bring up that Speaker of the House thing, Mike, that are just fed up with the current leadership, and they just want a fresh start. And I tend to agree with it, because we're going nowhere fast with the current leadership. They promise a lot. They don't get a lot done, right? That's been the case for some years now. And we'll see what happens here. We'll see if it's Kevin McCarthy or somebody else. We will soon see. But I just want somebody, and this goes from the president down, that will get things done that benefit Americans, not benefit other countries, not benefit elites. I want things that benefit people like you and I, Mike, or our listeners. That's what I want.
Yep. Go Bills. Bills tonight playing Miami. Hopefully we squish the fish, folks. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to be talking to Deborah Williams. We're going to talk a little bit about the COVID restrictions at the border. I have a lot of clients that have a place in Canada. They go up to Canada. A lot of Canadians come down to do shopping here, stay here for different overnight type things, lots of restaurants here to visit. We're going to talk to Deborah Williams when we get back. You've got Mike Hayflick and Mike Spiraza, the Financial Guys, here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Alrighty, welcome back. We're going to get right to the phone lines. Folks, if you want to chime in today, December 17th, a week from Christmas Eve, hopefully you're safe out there. Definitely was a slick ride. I think the main roads weren't so bad, but those, all the secondary roads, neighborhood type roads, not very good this morning. About a foot of snow last night in that snow belt. But the Bills are going to have to play the Dolphins in it. And oh my goodness, I hope they win tonight. What a great victory that would be. Mike Spiraza is going to be heading there after the show. So maybe you can do a little live. Can we do something live? I'd like to see you at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and just listen to you live in the Bills parking lots. It'd be kind of fun. To reach us right now, 844-434-4TFG, I'm going to bring on Deborah Williams. Deborah, are you there?
I am here, and I will report that we just have 2 inches of snow in Colden. So,
oh, my.
We're doing well out here.
Wow, it just isn't south enough to you. That's amazing. Colden's not too much further from, like, the East Aurora and Orchard Park area.
Right, and we only have 2 inches.
Holy cow. Well, you'll get your share. Deborah,
I know.
First,
exactly.
Don't get too cocky too early.
I know. You'll get smothered soon enough. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us. I want to start with this. We have a lot of listeners across Western New York, into Rochester, and even into Ontario. Lots of listeners own properties in both the U.S. and Canada and have had to navigate the rules and restrictions of crossing the border since COVID presented itself. Tell us what you know about the current COVID border mandates.
Sure. I'm part of a group called Families Are Essential, and we formed back in March of 2021 trying to get the borders open for families. Never in a million years dreaming that we would be at this point. At this point, 151 countries in the world are completely open. There is no mandates, no vaccine, no testing, no quarantine. Among the completely open countries is Canada, but not the United States of America. An unvaccinated American can travel no problem to Canada and another 150 other countries. All of Europe is completely open. Australia, New Zealand, the Caribbean, Mexico, but not the United States. And this causes some severe problems, and it puts our business at a disadvantage here, our tourism at a disadvantage, and family situations. Although Canada is among the most highly vaccinated countries, mm-hmm. there are a number of people who are not vaccinated. And if you're not vaccinated, you're not allowed into the country, into the U.S. There is some good news on the push by the Republicans. The defense bill that was just passed by both the House and the Senate, and included in that defense bill was the elimination of the vaccine mandate for our military.
Yep.
And so if it's not required for our military, why should it be required for the Canadian coming over here to visit their dying mother or to spend some money or to do business over here?
You're just making too much common sense. That's the problem, Deborah.
Go ahead, Mike. Deborah, let me ask you something. This is what kills me about this. What is the difference between the northern border and the southern border? Why is there rules up here where we are, but not down in Texas and Arizona? What's the reasoning behind that?
Exactly. And you know, Canada, we share a border that is 5,525 miles long, the longest shared border in the world. And we have a long, long history of being, you know, close allies, friends. We share mm-hmm. a culture. We share a business. We share families. And why are we're really discriminating against Canadians, because although this rule applies to all, supposedly, mm-hmm. look at the difference between the northern border and the southern border. I mean, I don't know how these our government leaders can operate like this with a straight face. I mean, it's just appalling, and we're so frustrated because, you know, how is this happening at the, you know, in December of 2022? How is it happening like this? We can't fathom it.
I have theories, but clearly it's about power, right? It's about those folks telling us what we can and cannot do, and they just cannot get out of the way, right? They just cannot. I think there's leaders out there that are already germophobic, that they're a little bit more reserved about being in front of people or in big crowds. And so you put those types of people in leadership, and then they get all this power. They get out in front of the cameras. They can get in front of microphones and make us do certain things. I think it's all about power. I don't think it has anything to do with science. Go ahead, Deborah.
Interestingly, our most stalwart, you know, never miss an opportunity advocate for completely opening the border mm-hmm. here in Western New York has been Congressman Brian Higgins, mm-hmm. a Democrat, and there are other Democrats but the big thing that is happening is we're losing, we, the United States, we, Western New York, we, New York State, are losing millions of dollars by not having the border open. And just look at New York, Niagara Falls, New York, and Niagara Falls, Ontario. Foreign visitors come from all over the world to go to Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. Well, Niagara Falls, Ontario is completely open, no problem. Niagara Falls, New York, being in the United States, has these restrictions.
Yep.
So where are you going to go?
Completely unfair.
Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Completely unfair. And we're coming up on a break. Deborah, we cannot thank you enough for coming on. Don't be a stranger, because as things change, we'd love to hear from you. Families are essential, folks. You can find that on Facebook, I know. Deborah, Merry Christmas to you, and keep advocating for us.
And let's hope that the next time we talk that this will be resolved.
We really hope so, especially on the family front, right? Being able to go across
exactly.
the border, back and forth to see family, to actually go to your own property that you own,
exactly.
being able to check on
exactly.
it. Thanks, Deborah.
Yes.
Deborah Williams on COVID restrictions at the border.
Just remember, folks, if you just got your COVID vaccine and you social distance and you shut your business down, everything will work out. Just remember that. Always remember that.
Yeah, they'll yep. save us, right?
Yep.
They'll save
yep.
us. All right, we're going to come up on a quick break. If you'd like to reach us here, folks, 844-434-4TFG, our text line, 716-817-0716. We'll be right back. From our wonderful Vice President Kamala Harris a little bit later.
Oh, gosh.
But first, we're very, very pleased to bring on a frequent guest of our podcast, Mike.
Yep.
Someone who really, really knows what's going on down on the southern border, Cochise County, Arizona Sheriff Mark Daniels. Mark, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon to both of you.
It's great to talk to you again. Merry Christmas to you. And we're really pleased to talk to you. We just talked to someone on the phone about what's going on the Canadian border up north here. But we're going to get some great insight from you on what's happening on the southern border.
Yeah, Sheriff, real quick. We were just talking about how the northern border up by us here in Buffalo, Rochester, New York, is closed down and or has issues if you're not vaccinated to get over the border and back. But What is going on down there? Because why is the border so different here in New York State or at the northern border than it is down by you guys?
Well, that's the public safety question that needs to be asked and answered, and it's being asked, but there's no answers to it. We have seen over the last 22 months since President Biden took office a complete neglect on our southern border. I mean, it's almost like this has been the abandoned border of America, and we have been the forgotten ones. And our communities down there, sadly, it's America's border. We're all sharing it. Over the last 20 months, I don't have the last ones for the last 2 months here, but last 20 months, 5 million people have breached our border. That's a nominal number. And what I mean by that is 4 million were encounters. The other million were gotaways. That's why they say it's nominal, because we don't know how. We know it's a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. That's what gotaways are, people we've seen on cameras or seen, and they've got away. So that should be scare every American out there, knowing that a million people have come to this country that couldn't give up. All you do is claim credible fear, and you're in the country. These are people that are usually have bad records. They're of interest to this country for all the right reasons, and they're in our country somewhere right now as we speak. So, and then we've had thousands of migrants that came across our border illegally have died on U.S. soil. I think it was around 1,300 right in there. So, again, it goes back to public safety, national security, humanitarian. Nothing's working on this border. And what also is not working is this president has failed to meet with not one sheriff. Of 2 months ago when I had a meeting, still not one sheriff in this country that we know of has sat down with President Biden, discussed communities with him. He refuses to meet with us.
Sheriff, let me ask you one more question, and I'll hand it over to Mike here. But I get in battles on Twitter all the time now, because that's my new thing. I just sit on Twitter and argue with people. But I get all the time, you know, oh, well, encounters aren't gotaways, so it's the same repeat offenders over and over again. What is your response to that when people think it's not that big of a deal because it's repeat offenders?
Well, a portion of that is repeat offenders, where they'll try. The cartels give you 3 attempts to come across the border after you pay your minimum of $7,000 per to come across the United States. And then if you come from a country of interest, it's up to $21,000, by the way, per person. So you get 3 attempts. If you don't make it, then you got to pay a penalty back to the criminal cartels. But Yeah, there are some repetitive offenses. But the bottom line is this. They're violating the law. The rule of law in our country is if you want to claim credible fear, you do it through a legal process, through a port of entry or an asylum office. You don't do it by sneaking through the country at the hands of the cartels, and then there's no consequences. That's the problem we have. It's a very dangerous game. These gotaways, again, I mean, we've seen everything that you can imagine on these gotaways, from fugitives to sex offenders to murder suspects, people on the FBI list. I mean, there's no win in this for America. There is no win. And why a president who took an oath of office, same as I did, that is to protect America, protect communities, is neglecting this. This is incredible. America does not stand up and say, enough is enough. I mean, we have open borders on the southern border. And when it comes to the health pandemic, you mentioned this on the northern border. That could be a whole different topic. I mean, there is no restriction for health pandemic. Actually, Title 42 goes away, is anticipated on December 21st. And we're embracing, the state and the communities are embracing that, because the federal government still has not said, Sheriff, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're doing, community on the southern border. No, once again, we're on our own down here.
Tell us a little more about Title 42, Sheriff, and what that was meant to do, and was it actually enforced? Was it a worthwhile, legislation or mandate? And what if that goes away?
Well, I think it was very worthwhile. I mean, when President Trump put Title 42, which is a health pandemic to protect Americans, again, we're in a pandemic. Everybody announced we're in a pandemic. So we have to protect America. And you got 150-some countries coming into our southern border. That comes with diseases. It comes with spreading all kinds of different health issues. So it was a smart move. I got to agree with this one. If we're not going to recognize we have a pandemic, which Americans are over it. I think we all would agree with that. Mm-hmm. We all take individual responsibilities based on our own situations. But now that we're over it, Title 42 should go away, in all fairness. Mm-hmm. But here's the issue with that, Mike, is the fact that there is no measure to stop, to replace it, to stop with the surge, this crisis on our southern border that we're addressing down here. So there is nothing. And so we're just taking another measure off the table to open up the border even more. And that's the concern down here. Local, state, and federal. I'm talking about my law enforcement partners. We address this. Mm-hmm. There's so much frustration down here. It's unreal when it comes to what we're seeing, what we're dealing with, and what we continue to try to address day in and day out.
So you've got Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom out in California. You've got Democrat New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying, we're going to be in trouble. Like, we're already getting stressed here. Do you think that Democrats, prominent Democrats in the U.S., are going to be able to make a difference?
I really don't. I don't. I'm nice to see that they set their politics aside for a minute and said, wow, we do have a problem here. It's about time, especially Mayor Adams out of New York. I mean, you are the badge. You should know better. And so it's nice to see that, because this is not the 30-plus border counties on the Southwest. This is America's problem, and we have to address it unitedly. And what we're doing now is not working. But President Biden's made a very strong message to all of us that this is not a priority. Our southern border is not a priority to him. He was just in my state several weeks ago, and as you know, was asked, you're going to come to the border. You're in a border state. And he stated very clearly, I have more important things to do. And he was talking about big business. Big business was more important than humanitarian, national security, and public safety. So I get it, President Biden. I get it. We're not a priority to you. But I think we are, because we're part of this country, number one. And I took an oath, too, to protect America and support the Constitution.
Yeah,
that's why I'm here.
Message loud and clear, right?
Yeah, interesting too, Sheriff. Vice President Kamala Harris said something very similar a couple months ago, or almost a year ago maybe now, and she said, I've been there, we'll get there, and then she laughed, of course. So obviously you're right, not that big of a deal to them, and that's really sad, because people like you and your team are on the front lines dealing with it. I just want to push this conversation over to the drug issues now, because these cartels are living the dream with this administration, because they are pushing as many drugs as they can. There was that story this week, Sheriff, I'm sure you saw, where I believe it was in Texas, the sheriff was, you know, it was a regular traffic stop. Mm-hmm. She opened the trunk and she was moving stuff around, and just the smell or the scent or the particles, whatever it was, of fentanyl in the trunk, she actually started overdosing on the street. Thank God there were other officers there. When is this drug, true drug epidemic? This is a true epidemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, of what's going on in this country with our citizens dying from drug use. I know, Sheriff, we've told you about this, my own family specifically. I had two brothers that dealt with drug-related suicides because of these hard drugs. Why doesn't this administration see that as a problem? If nothing else, the drug problems in this country, it is a roller coaster watching family go through that. And I'm not alone. There are many out there that have dealt with this, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, whatever it may be. When are they going to take that seriously?
You know, another public safety question that, and I said this the other day in a media interview, what side is our federal government on anymore? That's really the question you got to ask, because the cartel, the criminal transnational organizations are winning right now. When you can kill 300 Americans a day just on drug overdoses, not including all the other violence that's going on, just drug overdoses a day, compare that to a commercial plane going down every day. I guarantee if a plane went down every day and killed a couple hundred people, we would have a immediate reaction to that by the federal government. What's the difference? There is none. And this has amazed me. We're not talking about the war on drugs, because 90% for your viewers' benefit, 90% of all the illicit drugs come through the southwest border. We see it. We know it. And to put that in perspective where we're at today, in 2019, there was 2,600 pounds of fentanyl seized on the southwest border. And that's, again, a nominal number. That's what we got. Now we got away. 2,600 pounds. Right now, in 2022, I know we're coming to the end here, but over 12,000, pushing 13,000 pounds of fentanyl have been seized on the southwest border in this year alone.
And
that
Sheriff,
tells you.
Sheriff, sorry to cut you off there. How many people could that kill realistically?
Oh, well, you look at it, takes a 0.005 milligram, which is so minute. And you explained, the officer that just breathed it, knocked her down. You can imagine one pill could kill, no problem, kill an American. In 2021, Arizona alone seized 5.6 million pills. That's 5.6 million people. If you split the pill up into milligrams, you're talking 3-4 more times that. So, again, it's such a deadly attack on our country through what the cartels are putting into our communities, our schools, and our families. And we're not even talking about that. And this is just amazing. Between the exploitation of people being smuggled, which I call modern-day slavery, they treat these people horrible, to include the drugs coming across the border, the bad actors coming across the border, the gotaways, it amazes me that we're being neglected. It's like a different world right now for us to live in. My 38 years as a cop, I have never, ever experienced this kind of neglect on our southwest border.
But we're certainly not neglecting the Ukraine, and not that we shouldn't help the Ukraine, but this is from CFR.org. $48 billion has already been sent as aid, and you're talking about 250,000 people per month crossing that southern border. Many of them are not those that need the help. They're not the ones that we would readily help and embrace. These are often criminals, the drugs, the sex trafficking, the child trafficking. Sheriff, this isn't getting any better either. That's the problem. I mean, you read off some data from the last 20 months. What's happening now? It's getting worse, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. There's not one non-political, and they say that, stat that you can pull up that shows success. In fact, they've even redone how they do. Well, we're going to compare last month to this month, because we can't compare year to year anymore because it's so revealing. So they've gone month to month. But here's something, and let me just pick on my county here for a minute, right on the border, on the southeast corner of the state of Arizona. Since January till November 15th, we booked over 1,400 people in my jail that has a capacity of 302, by the way. 1,400 people plus in my jail for border-related crimes. And people are like, well, Sheriff, that's all the illegals that entered. Only 70 out of the 1,400 plus were foreign-born. These are United States citizens that are coming to my county from all over the country to partake in international crime as a result of the cartels offering them $2,000 to $3,000 per person to drive them from my county 3 hours north to a metro area. that is greed at its worst, and it's also deadly. And that's where those stats come from. Since March of this year, we've had over 500 victims, felony victims of crime related to the border in my county. This is stuff we've never seen. And nobody wants to hear from the federal government. The ones that do want to hear it tell me, oh, Sheriff, that's bad. Yeah, whatever you need, let us know. What? I think the facts reveal we need help. If it wasn't for our state in Arizona here, our governor, who's going out here in a couple weeks, we'd be in serious trouble in my county, just on the cost alone.
Sheriff, obviously we appreciate everything you're doing down there, and we pray for you guys, you and your deputies and your sheriffs, because it cannot be easy, and you guys are at risk every day. Mike and I always say, every time we talk to you, your voice gets more angry and upset, and rightfully so. I hope one day maybe Mike and I can fly down to Arizona and have a beer, and it's not as bad anymore with you. That would be a great thing.
Well, and my wish, and people have asked that. In fact, I'm doing some interviews on Christmas Eve Day, some national interviews, and I've made the comment, I'm going to say it then, too, and I'll say it with you all, is, you know, we all got to believe, number one, don't stop believing. Number two is, I wish for Christmas is we can get a secure border, but something tells me I'm going to get a piece of coal with a federal government stamp on it. So, sadly to say.
Maybe 2024 you'll get your border back. Maybe. Well, we can see what happens there.
That's all I keep believing, and don't give up the hope. But I appreciate both you guys, and I appreciate the message, and to your viewers, too. Merry Christmas to everybody here.
Thank you, Sheriff Mark Daniels. We appreciate you, sir. You are a true patriot, doing everything you could possibly do on our southern border, not getting any help, no help at all. So Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sheriff. Right. Real quick before the break, Mike, what's amazing is, and he says it every single time he talks to us, they don't care. The federal government won't talk to people like him. Why is that?
Yeah.
How could that be?
It's just disgusting.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. I mean to hear what's going on up here on the northern border, where there's just it's tighter than a drum, and then down there, literally, it's like a sieve. It's just come on over, and as long as you're coming over, please remember to vote Democrat, right? Because
yep.
it's
yep.
Joe Biden and yep. his administration who doesn't care. They don't care if you make it across the border safely.
No.
They don't care if you die trying to cross the border. They certainly don't care about American citizens that are getting affected by the crime
no.
and the drugs that are flooding over that border. So
don't be logical, Michael.
Folks, do what you got to do, right? Advocate for people like Cochise County, Arizona Sheriff Mark Daniels. We're going to take a quick break, and you've got Mike Hayflick, Mike Sparazza in for Mike and Glenn this week. We are the Financial Guys on the Financial Guys Media Network. Alrighty, welcome back.
That
folks.
Was a new song, Mike. I never heard
I know,
that one.
That
before.
Was what was that?
I don't
a little
know.
Saxophone yeah. there. I can't tell if it was a holiday song or one of Pam's favorites, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to ask.
She nodded no.
No, it was not. Okay. Folks, if you need us throughout the week, 833 Fin Guys, we do manage money for a living. Go through our unique homework process. Don't invest, don't plan according to how others do it. Do it the way you're supposed to do it for your household, either you as an individual, married couple, whatever the case might be. If you're considering retirement soon, you're not sure if it's possible, you need a financial plan, a retirement income plan, maybe some wealth management. This has been a dicey year where most sectors, most areas of the economy, most investment asset classes have taken a pretty good beating. We're actually going to talk to Paul Meeks, one of the chartered financial analysts on our team, in the next hour. If you need to dust off, and you do need to dust off policies, folks, home and auto policies, life insurance policies, dust them off. See a specialist, folks. We have many, many areas of expertise to help you. Use us as a resource. 833-FIN-GUYS. You can also find us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, at FinGuys, our podcasts. 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mike, you and Mahalu kick it off on Tuesdays. Yeah. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Wednesdays, and then you and I on Thursdays. TheFinancialGuys.com, too, folks. You can register for different events that we're holding. All sorts of ways to reach us, and 833-FIN-GUYS is probably the easiest. So if you need us, please contact us. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have one of our specialists, sort of our resident, not so much resident, but feels like he's a resident because he's around quite often, a real estate specialist, Todd Eichinger, Todd is also a student of Dave Ramsey and Dave's method of debt reduction. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Yes, Mike and Mike, how are you guys today?
Good, good. Are you safe? You're not far from where I am in Alma, so you making your way out and about?
Oh, yeah. I think we got about 8 to 10 inches. I'm on the way home now. We just left Houghton track meet today where my kid did very well. I'm going to brag on her in a second. So,
nice.
You know, we got that going for us.
Ha, I love it. Well, hey, especially around the holidays, right? It's all about family, folks. And
right.
So tell us how you and Karen use the Dave Ramsey methods. And I think Metro Roberts is sponsoring a workshop.
Correct. So if you guys have time out there, on January 18th, we're going to start around 6:15. It's at our West Seneca location, which is right around the corner from Seneca and Union. It's right over near Cone King and Just Pizza, if you're like me and use food for landmarks. We're about 30 seconds from there. And we're just going to give everybody an introduction on the 10 steps to, you know, from starting with a little bit of savings just for that rainy day money, move your way up to paying your bills, then move your way into savings, move your way into investing, and then hopefully, you know, we all, you know, Mike, you included, help them become millionaires because they now have extra money because they're not paying somebody monthly to put in their investments, and they can fish, golf, sleep, whatever they want to do when they get older, and they've got enough money to do what they choose.
Love it. You just, yeah, sometimes we all just need a little help, right? We need someone to guide us, someone to coach us. And I think that's what the Dave Ramsey methodology that Russ Geiser here in our office has really, really promoted and helped so many people already. When and where again? What is the time of that event at the West Seneca location of Metro Roberts, January 18th? What time are you doing that, Todd?
6:15.
Awesome. 6:15. And how can they register?
Give me a call or a text, 716-912-8684. And if you can't remember my cell number, gotoddy.com. Seems to be pretty easy for everybody to remember.
Awesome. Gotoddy.com. Todd Eichinger, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to
you. All right. Be good. Go Bills.
All right. You got it. Go Bills.
Just had a phone malfunction there, Mike. I think there's some sound going on there.
I don't know what's going on. You know what? I don't know about this tech. I just answer calls. I text a little. Check my emails. But that was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what that had. Maybe I set off an alarm or something. Emergency. Hey, we have one caller we want to squeeze in before the 2 o'clock. Can we do that?
Yeah. We got Jerry from Gettysville. Jerry, how are you?
Hey, hi.
Hey, Jerry.
Just a rant and a question for you. I don't know who – I guess Hussein Obama passed out a memo that everyone who's a liberal Democrat left, like this Jean-Pierre lady, and they all say, every third word of them. I can't, it's a rant.
They're searching for words. That's the problem. They don't have answers, so they're searching and searching for words.
I was just going to say that, Jerry, before you continue there. I was just going to say that same thing. Real quick, Jerry. Yeah. So the problem is when you don't know what you're talking about, it's like the kid that does the book report and has to explain the book that he didn't read or she didn't read. Right. All you do is fill with ums because that just takes time up.
Thank you. You helped me because it just drives me crazy. And when people put a soundbite out of that cackler or the view or that Jean-Pierre, whatever, they make a point, but I can't stand it. But you have to be a moron to have voted Democrat. I mean, the sheriff that was just on, guys, you know, one thing that doesn't add up is that, okay, Arizona's border, like he was talking about, but why did they vote a Democratic governor if they're having so much trouble on the border? What am I supposed to believe? Are they nuts? Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. I think part of the answer is, Mike, and we can talk about this after the break because we're coming up on a hard break here, but part of the answer is there's a lot of ill-informed voters out there, right? All the left pushes is that there's not an actual problem with anything, right?
Right.
Other than January 6th, of course. That was the problem, right? That's the problem for everything. But there's not the left truly believes that everything under Joe Biden, everything under the Democrats is all fine and dandy. California continues to vote Gavin Newsom. New York continues to vote Cuomo, Hochul, you name it. They're just oblivious to the facts.
No doubt. And I think people end up with this voter dementia, right? Things go badly for like 2-3 years and then campaigns start and it's, oh, you know what? We're going to fix this. We're going to help you. Don't worry. You need us. And then they become Santa Claus by handing out, you know, everything under the sun. And that's why they get voted back in. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. You're listening to the Financial Guys here on the Financial Guys Media Network.
WHAM Rochester.
Thanks, but it'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people.
Here are the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. We have one more hour with you. December 17th, 1 week to Christmas Eve, and hopefully you're all getting your shopping done, you're sending out all your Christmas cards, and doing everything safely. We got, another foot of snow last night, Mike, in the snow belt?
Yeah.
Crazy. What do we have? Someone from Colden, Deborah, was it? From Colden.
Yeah.
She said they had about 2 inches. That just kills me when I'm like exhausted from moving snow from 7 in the morning until about 10. A lot of clients doing the same thing. So hopefully you're staying safe, folks. Go Bills. Bills home against Miami in what hopefully is a snowstorm, right? We need it to be a snowstorm. Slow those fast guys down like the Tyreek Hills. Everyone on defense, band around, shut these guys down. How about we send them home with like a 34-3 loss? They're going to be racing to get back onto that airplane to get back down to South Florida. That would be wonderful.
We will see what happens. It's less than 6 hours. Oh, about 6 hours from game time. I lied. Yep. I lied to you all there.
Yep. And I'm trying to convince Mike Spiraza to do some live updates from the stadium tonight. Try and get on the air here somehow.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's going to be.
After
I don't think
a couple
it's
beers,
happening.
That's probably not going to be good material for anybody.
No, not so. The language might get a little bit hairy, hot, spicy. I don't know. All right, folks. So if you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS, if you want to call in right now, 844-434-4TFG. So the markets, and we're going to be bringing on Paul Meeks in a moment, chartered financial analyst, member of our Independent Solutions Wealth Management team, and adjunct professor at the Citadel, frequently heard on CNBC. The Federal Reserve this week raised the federal funds rate again to a range of 4.25% to 4.5%. And all year long, we've been waiting to see then what will the inflation numbers look like? What will the markets do? How will the markets react? It's been a really, really difficult year to navigate as an investor. And I'd say to you, come and see us. We have a lot of specialists. We can help you figure this out, interpret it, and then hopefully help position you to increase the probabilities of your chances of your money doing what you need it to do. So I want to bring on Paul Meeks. Paul, are you with us?
Paul?
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Hi. Hey. Hey, thanks for joining us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. So listen, I have the Federal Reserve statement here in front of me, and in one paragraph alone, Paul, three times it's mentioned that the inflation rate needs to get to 2% over the longer run. Then it says to return inflation to 2% over time. Strongly committed to returning inflation to its 2% objective. We peaked at 9.1 when we saw the in July, the June to June year-to-year comparison. We've only gotten this down when we compared the November to November comparison. 5 months later at 7.1%. And I'll tell you what, that seems that seems too low, Paul, because everyone I talk to says, there's no way it's only 7.1. It seems far worse. You go fill a grocery cart and you're spending hundreds of dollars now. So what do you think about the Federal Reserve's latest statement? And give our listeners a sense of where you think things are going to go into next year.
So sure. The last reading, and it's produced every month. So this was for the month of November. You're absolutely right. Consumer Price Index, CPI, you know, probably the best benchmark of what you and I buy, was 7%. Now, going from 7 to 2 is a very big delta.
Yeah.
And so if and when we get back to 2, first of all, I don't know if that'll ever happen. And even if it does, it's going to be a long time. But in the meantime, you know, we've taken interest rates in this country, Fed funds rate from 0 last March, where it'd been for many years. Right now, we're at 4.25. We'll probably top out after two or three more hikes. I'm thinking that we'll get to 5 to 5.25 by May of next year. Mm-hmm. And with a lag effect, because some of this stuff doesn't happen right away, I do think that we'll take inflation down over time, 3, 4. But that would be actually fairly benign if you take a look at history, and I think would actually lead to a nice rally in stocks and other risky assets. So I'm not necessarily discouraged. I think the Fed is about 80 to 90% of the way through their work, you know, with three more interest rate hikes ahead, each one being a quarter point. And I think if we were to have this call a year from today, we would feel very good about the economy. Even if we have a recession that's probably imminent, it'll be pretty short. It'll be pretty shallow. And this time next year, we'll probably, I think, finish up the year with a flurry in stocks, even though the year might start off poorly. Mm-hmm. And feel a lot better about the economy and feel a lot better about inflation. So I'm worried about the next couple of months, next couple of quarters, but I'm feeling pretty positive after that.
Paul, you and two other chartered financial analysts on our team, John Thurr and Peter Nielsen, have just decades of experience in evaluating and seeing evidence and things play out. How different of a year was 2022 from years that you've seen in the past?
Wow, 2022 was spectacularly bad. Right, the last time we had this kind of cave-in, at least in risky assets, was during the financial crisis. So that goes all the way back to 2008 timeframe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though I've been doing this since the mid-80s, you know, we've been through some ups and downs. But this one was quite extraordinary because it was led by high inflation, and we haven't seen inflation these rates since I was high school, and now I'm 60 years old. And of course, sandwiched in there, we had in and out of COVID, and then a number of like serious geopolitical events like the Russia invasion of the Ukraine. So I would say this one, I don't want to say it's totally different. There's always some themes that repeat. But yeah, this one was pretty nasty, and of course, it's ongoing.
So President Trump and President Biden, Paul, both contributed to basically putting, what, upward of $5 trillion into the economy, right? And much of those dollars, rightfully so. That was a crisis back in February, March of 2020. But we saw the biggest cost of living adjustments over the last couple years in 40 years. So the 5.9% cost of living adjustment for people either 62 on or not on Social Security, their benefit was increased by 5.9% heading into 2022. Going into next year, it's an 8.7% cost of living adjustment. Do you think that it's going to continue at high levels like this, or do you think that the Fed's doing enough, and do you think things will get back to what we'd see as, I guess, more normal inflation?
I think we won't see normal if the Fed claims that that's a 2% number. We won't see that for quite a while. But I imagine if we get out a year from today, you know, we'll see inflation, which is now, you know, running at 7% per annum, substantially down, several hundred basis points down. So we'll be heading in the right direction. You know, we got into this mess because, you know, partially due to COVID, you know, we had very aggressive fiscal policy, you know, a lot of spending by Congress, and that was both parties. And then simultaneously you had monetary policy, which was the Fed essentially taking interest rates to zero. And so, boy, that had a lot of cash sloshing around the economy. It triggered explosive inflation that we haven't seen since the 70s and 80s. But now they're reversing those policies, and it's going to be a lag effect. But again, this time next year, you know, we won't be at 2% inflation, but we'll be halfway at least between the 7 today and the 2 that they want to get to over time.
Yeah. So investing is really unique to households. We always talk to our clients about, you know, the idea that you have to assess your own needs, your own attitude about risk. Paul, you are well known for your investing into the tech area back in the late 90s, having, you know, $8 to $9 billion of investments in tech funds. What do you see, I guess, moving forward? Where do you see opportunities for people out there? I guess more on a broad basis. Of course, we'd want people to evaluate those things with us specifically, before they make any changes or moves. But just where do you see tech? Tech has gotten hammered, right? Communication services, information technology, the consumer discretionary area, and even real estate. Those sectors have just gotten hammered this year.
Yeah, I think what happens is you would expect, because they've come down the most, that they would have the biggest snapback rally. I'm not necessarily sure that tech is going to be the leadership sector coming out of the bear market. Mm-hmm. I'm actually most constructive, and I haven't been this constructive on bonds in eons, because now you have, and this is the plus side, if there could be a plus side at all, to interest rates rising. Now you have bonds of high quality that are yielding 4% plus, sometimes 5%, sometimes 6%. So you can lock in those yields, and if and when the Fed ever starts to lower rates again after they've conquered inflation, you'll also get price performance in those bonds because they move in the opposite direction of rates. Mm-hmm. And you could have, next couple of years, bonds outperform stocks with less risk. And so I actually think that that's the best opportunity of all. And most people would expect me to say stocks A and tech B. But I'm going with C, bonds.
Huh. Awesome. Folks, if you would like to do a complimentary chat, a conference call, a Zoom, maybe even here in person, Paul, if you come up from Charleston, come on up to Western New York, you can meet Paul, talk about your portfolio with Paul. You can call us at 833-FIN-GUYS. For that matter, if you'd like to talk to two of our other CFAs, John Thur, Peter Nielsen, please call us, 833-FIN-GUYS. These are tricky times, especially if you're approaching retirement. During the accumulation phase, you know, when you're in your 30s, 40s, maybe just into your 50s, volatility can actually help you, right, buying low and accumulating units or shares of things. But, boy, when you're approaching retirement, it gets a little dicier, huh, Paul?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, there's always going to be opportunities, and nobody has a clear crystal ball. But, yeah, we try to stay on top of things, and, you know, that's kind of how I see it now. But, man, there'll be some tactical opportunities that can kind of complement the strategic work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of why we do what we do.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul.
Yeah, best wishes, guys.
All right. You too. Thanks, Paul.
Bills from Paul. There.
I like it. I know. I think he's a Giants fan, perhaps. Yeah, I believe he's a Giants fan. But that was nice.
Yeah.
Chartered financial analyst, member of our Independent Solutions Wealth Management Committee, a professor at the Citadel. You can often see Paul on CNBC about once a week, twice a week, maybe even once every 2 weeks.
Yep.
They reach out to Paul quite often. I reach out to Paul quite often. Our whole team counts on him. Peter Nielsen, John Thur, a great, great group if you need help with wealth management.
Rumor is we have Santa Claus coming on next.
So holy cow. We should do a quick break?
Yeah, a quick break.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I heard sleigh bells.
Yeah.
All right. We will be right back, folks. You've got Mike Hayflick, Mike Spirazza. We are the Financial Guys on the Financial Guys Media Network.
Saying things you do not know what you're talking about. No one said that. Who said that?
Come on, give me a break, man.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He's an angry elf.
The Financial Guys, where money meets politics.
Sing along, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, it's not.
We sing all the time.
No, it's not.
Especially when we make toys.
Just classic, right? Elf, you have to watch Elf during the holiday season.
Love Will Ferrell, too. He's fantastic.
Just awesome. So we do have a special guest, maybe the most special of guests on the show today.
I guess so. We got Santa. He was at the office this week, and now he's here live on the line with us.
Santa?
Ho, ho, ho. Santa is live on the radio with you folks.
Oh,
you know I got a busy week coming up. I'll be flying all over the world to deliver those kids all those nice gifts. But I want to give a gift to your listeners. You know, sometimes, given the circumstances we're in today, might be a good time to take a look at your estate plan. We have a virtual seminar that's on. If you just go to financialguysmedia.com, You could watch it. Those of you in Rochester can watch it as well. We do have an office out there. And Santa will be arriving in many places. So if you need time to talk to me directly, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. And you mentioned something earlier about Miami wanting to go back to South Florida. But when I'm done, I'll be on to South Florida as well. Rest up. So how you guys doing?
We're good, Santa. And I want to ask you this because there's two mics here in the studio. Mike Spiraza, Mike Hayflick. Which one of us is on the good list? Which one is on the naughty list?
Well, now that's a tough question. Right now, Mike F. might be on the naughty list. He's got Santa working at home making pasta vajoule for the Jets game, the Bills game tonight, sorry. So that's a little tough for a guy like me after they worked me all week. You know, so Mike, you might have a shot, Mike H. You might have a shot not getting the cold. Mike, you're definitely getting the cold.
So we should make him do a J-E-T-S, Jets on the air.
No, I'm going to let you. I'm going to pass on that one. But I will say this: should be a good game tonight. At least it may not snow. At least it's not snowing here. But when I head back from the North Pole, I'm sure I'll have snow on the way. So again, I want to ask everybody to tune in. It's a great show. I think it's right after maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock this afternoon. You could tune right into that. And maybe get some helpful tips to help you along. But this is some changing times, as I heard Paul Meek speaking.
Yeah,
might be a good time to dust off some of your plans and take a look. Maybe they need to be reworked.
No doubt. FinancialGuysMedia.com, estate planning, passing wealth to the next generation. It's an on-demand seminar, folks. You can find that right on our FinancialGuysMedia.com. Well, Santa, thank you.
You know,
a real treat. I know you're a busy guy these days.
I will. I'm gonna be traveling.
All right. Well, be safe out there.
All right, thanks, guys. Have
Thank
a
you. All righty.
I take offense to that I'm going to have coal this year. That is not
What's
fair.
What's wrong with coal?
It's not fair.
Just burn it clean.
That's right. Clean energy, baby.
Clean energy.
We got to come up with a new thing. Coal, you can't say anymore because that is harmful to the environment. So
right.
Instead of coal, what do you get? What's not harmful to the environment?
So it's pretty funny, right? The climate change people, right? Yeah. Like AOC.
Yeah.
We. This is great. So AOC, a movie. A blockbuster bust at the box office. Mike, it grossed $10,000. $10,000. That's $10,000. And that's about $80 per theater in which it was released. I've got to play Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana's take on that.
We do have time now, Mike, if you want to play that
we?
Now.
Oh,
yeah, we got some time now.
We have to. So, but isn't it funny? We're getting mountains and mountains of snow.
Yep.
And they're all worried about global warming. And,
oh, come
and,
on, Mike. That's not the name anymore, Mike. Now it's climate change because then they can play any game they want. Hurricanes, snow, whatever you want.
This is great. So I'm gonna just get right to the spot here. This is Senator John Kennedy. He's absolutely one of my favorite people to listen to. And this was John Kennedy with Sean Hannity.
Many of the Congresswoman's supporters don't like America. They think America was wicked when it was founded. It's even more wicked today. They think the American people, or at least millions of them, are racist and misogynistic and ignorant. Many of these supporters of the Congresswoman assign people to a status. They don't see us as individuals. That all white people, for example, they think are racist. All black people, they think, are victims. All women are powerless.
So this is the loving left he's talking about,
yeah,
Mike.
Of course it is.
AOC and the loving left.
They don't see us as individuals. That's why I appreciate what Elon Musk has done so much. He's taken a very courageous stand for the First Amendment. They're beating on him like he stole Christmas. He's tough. He's tough as a pine nut, and the man's got guts. He's got oranges the size of beach balls.
Is there anybody better to listen to?
He knows how to paint a picture. That guy, he sure does.
I just absolutely love the guy. But he's smart. He's like the common sense senator. I don't know. I feel like this guy always knows exactly where things are. He cuts through all the muck and gets right to the point.
And Mike, we always say this too. The way the left campaigned on unity, right? The unifier in chief. That's how we campaigned, and I say we, them, campaigned in that 2020 election. Everything they've done since is the exact opposite, Mike, right? It's they, like he said, every white man is a racist. Every male is a misogynist.
And females are powerless.
Right. That's folks, what they push.
If you hear that, folks, if you're a female out there listening to our show, or if you know others in your family, females that are. Are they powerless? Like, that's so offensive, but it's so true. They look at people, like he said, you're in a category. You're just a label. You're a demographic.
Right.
That you're not a unique individual who has a mind of their own, and it's so offensive. But, yeah, John Kennedy just hits it on the head.
Yeah, yeah. I think we'll go to a quick break here, Mike, coming up on the 2:30 break, and then we have another special, actually two for the price of one coming up. Our pal Stefan Mihailu and John Root from Turning Point USA in Phoenix, Arizona this week at a America Fest event thrown by Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. So we got them coming up after the break.
Awesome. All right, folks, you're listening to the Financial Guys here on the Financial Guys Media Network.
All right. Well, maybe we have John. John
he's
Root,
definitely
are you with
on.
Us?
John Root, Turning Point USA contributor. How are you?
We maybe have
the Phoenix Convention Center.
Ah, there you are. Merry Christmas to you. How are your how's the holiday season treating you?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, I'm living the dream. It's a little chilly for Phoenix right now, but I'm right outside the convention center, ready to get America Fest started tonight. I'm stoked. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh,
John! I'm not going to hear you complain about the cold. We have an impending lake effect snowstorm going on here, so you can't complain.
That's why I always say it is. It is definitely chilly for Phoenix. I'm a wimp. I grew up in California. Now I'm in Phoenix. I'm just a sunny boy. All right.
Hey, yeah. Do you have any thoughts on this Buffalo Bills Miami Dolphins game tonight?
Well, I think it's Tua's got to figure it out. Like, he's had a couple bad games in a row. Obviously, the big game against Justin Herbert. It's like, all right, who's the best of the best in that draft class? I've always been Team Herbert. I don't mind Tua, but I mean, if you're playing in Buffalo, that's a hard team to beat right now. They're buzzing. Hopefully, Josh Allen takes care of the football. And I mean, obviously, they win this game. The division is obviously theirs, and then they'll be rolling in the playoffs. So they got to be excited.
John, I know you're at Turning Point USA's America Fest tonight. Tell our listeners a little bit about that event. I know it's the next few days, I believe. I was with you guys down at the Student Action Summit in Tampa a few months ago. So this is just another great event you guys are throwing. So what's going on there?
So we got over 10,000 people that are going to be at the Phoenix Convention Center this entire weekend. We got it tonight through Tuesday. Tucker Carlson's going to be on stage. Charlie Kirk tonight. We got country concerts. We got a worship night for TVUSA Faith that I do a lot of work with tomorrow night. And it's going to be like unlike anything you've ever seen in the movement. It's the biggest event. And obviously there's a lot of people that go to CPAC, but I think you come to an event like this and it's like we're touching on aspects of culture. It's not just like a hyper-politicized event or anything like that. But I got Bryson Gray is just walking by right now. Absolute stud in the hip-hop industry. So beast. But seriously, there's a lot of like big names rolling around here. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It definitely revitalizes your love for America. And especially after everything that went down with the midterms, there's a lot of people that maybe might be losing a little bit of hope. I think we're going to inject a lot of hope into people this weekend.
Awesome. We now have a political strategist and a Financial Guys podcast co-host, Stefan Mihailu, on the air now too. I wanted to ask you this, John. Now, we just came out, we're basically on the heels of the election season. Are you thinking the energy levels is pretty high on the conservative side?
Well, it's definitely not as high as we would have expected it to be. Obviously, a lot of people thought it would be just a red tsunami. Yeah. I think a lot of people needed to maybe chill out with their expectations when it came to the midterms. But I think people are encouraged about, you know, what happened in New York. Even though like there wasn't some wins that you wanted to get, but like places like New York and California, like those are places that I think conservatives are staying strong. They're sticking around and they're kind of the remnant and they're making their voices heard. Obviously there's nonsense that went on here in Arizona and we're going to make sure that, you know, the right people are helping out Carrie Lake in her lawsuit and that people know that like the time is now. You can't sit on the sidelines. you got to speak up about these cultural issues, and you got to make sure you put the right people in office that stand up for the people they say they represent.
Before we talk about moving forward into 2024, I do want to ask Stefan you first, and then John, we'll go to you on this. What did you think of Tucker Carlson's piece last night on Adam Kinzinger? And it was just 5 minutes of beauty, personally. I could not stop laughing all 5 minutes of that segment. What are your thoughts on people leaving, leaving Congress, like Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney? Stefan, you first. Stefan, you with us still? All right, John, we're going to go right to you, John. Go ahead on that one.
Well, I think it just comes down to, like, just there's certain people that are a part of the absolutely, you know, they love having those hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers and think that they are actually making some sort of difference and they have a say in what's going on. People are sick and tired of the rhinos. They're sick and tired of people that just aren't getting it done. There's a new conservative movement that's coming up, and I think people are just trying to make sure they keep everybody accountable. And then obviously Tucker Carlson, you gotta love him. He never holds back. He's not gonna hold back on stage tonight. No. And it's great because he's that kind of person. He won't get canceled. He's not gonna, if he's a verbal jousting ring with him.
Yeah. What would you say about the GOP's troubles trying to just get Kevin McCarthy elected as the speaker? I mean, it is true. The Democrats always seem to rally around the bigger, I guess, item or bigger agenda item. Like, they don't let the fringes affect their major policy. But they can't even get Kevin McCarthy approved here. And, I mean, they're supposed to. They have the gavel. So what do you think of that, John?
Well, I think a lot of people, they aren't, like, too happy with Kevin McCarthy. They might not like the personality. They might not think that he's strong in certain policies. And then I think what happens with the movement, too, Trump has a lot of stuff to say. Like, and he has a lot of sway. And basically, if he's got thoughts on somebody, mm-hmm. Everybody was looking for his endorsement. So if you're looking to get Trump's endorsement, Trump's got some thoughts on McCarthy, I think we need to figure out how to rally, and if we rally around the right person, we got to make sure we keep them accountable. But yeah, that is definitely something that's been difficult in the GOP is, you know, trying to find the right leaders. And I think a lot of what's going on with these presidential runs are going to have a huge say in everything too.
John, before we let you go, tell us a little bit of your thoughts on AOC's blockbuster movie hit that just came out. I don't know if it was this week or last week, grossing a total, whopping total of $10,000. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I'd like to talk to the three people that actually went to that.
They paid a lot of money for that. That's right.
I really couldn't imagine somebody being like, what do I want to do on like a Thursday night, a Friday night, or the weekend? Like, I want to go see AOC's garbage movie event. Like, it's like, there's got to be a lot more things that people can be doing with their time, and clearly people could care less what AOC has to say in the green agenda and climate scare she's trying to push. Like, it just goes to show again, like, all these followers that people have and supposedly the clout that they have, it doesn't generate views, it doesn't generate dollars, and it doesn't generate support for things like this. So you love to see it, right?
Yeah, you sure do. And John, I hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Sad I missed that one. We had a great time at the Student Action Summit. How do people find you, number one? And then give us a Go Bills from Cal. Well, you're in Phoenix, but give us a Go Bills from Phoenix and as a California boy at the end.
Well, you guys can follow me on Twitter. Now that I'm out of Twitter jail, at @JohnnyRoots_JONNYROOT. The same thing on Instagram. I'm on Getter as well. And go Bills, baby. Thanks, guys.
I love it.
Appreciate it. Have fun.
Thanks. John Root, Turning Point USA. Great guy. He covers a lot. He covers a lot of sports.
Yep.
He gave us a Go Bills. So
he did. Good for us.
It's got to be good news. All right.
We're going to go right to Stefan now. Yeah, Stefan, can you hear us this time?
I got you, gentlemen.
Hey, all right. Political strategist with Big Dog Strategies, a Financial Guys podcast co-host. So let's go to you on this, Stefan. I mean, you know, here he is out in Arizona with a great conservative event. Do you think that the energy level is what it needs to be? I mean, they can't even figure out in the House how to get Kevin McCarthy, you know, the speaker job. So Where do you think things are at on that side of the aisle?
You know, it's disappointing in some respects. I mean, at the end of the day, there has to be a Republican speaker. And in many cases, it's unfortunate that, you know, once in leadership, sometimes, you know, Republicans in Washington, it's not surprising that they shoot themselves in the foot and that they shoot themselves and keep reloading the gun. I mean, Kevin McCarthy needs to be the Speaker of the House, and there has to be a meeting of the minds or consensus or some semblance of a compromise, because what's the alternative? Do you hand the keys back to the Democratic Party and say, here you go, let's have, you know, Jeffries or Pelosi the Speaker again? So I hope cooler heads prevail and there is consensus and compromise and that Kevin McCarthy is going to be the next Speaker of the House.
Pelosi, baby, bring her back. Bring her back.
Oh, God bless America. I'd rather set myself on fire.
They have a nice new big portrait. Paul Pelosi was there to see this unveiling and everything. Who was that? John Boehner was even crying over her prowess as speaker, Stefan. That was just pathetic.
He's a big crier. I mean, he really is. He's an emotional guy.
And like Adam Kinzinger.
Known for. Yeah, that's what he's known for, John Boehner. And I've had the pleasure and honor of meeting him, and he served as speaker for many years. And, you know, but again, getting back to, you know, Speaker McCarthy, he's a great man, he's a great leader, and I hope cooler heads prevail, and there's compromise and consensus, and he's going to be the next Speaker of the House.
I know we got you for a few more minutes, Stefan. You got to get ready for the Bills game here. But let's talk about going into 2024 now. You are a political strategist. You deal with a lot of these campaigns. You deal with a lot of these polling numbers and all these different things. What is the outlook for, you know, the start of the political 2024 presidential race? What are we looking at? What are you seeing, hearing? What are you thinking, Trump, DeSantis? And even if you want to jump into the left, what are they thinking on that side? Is it Biden? Is it Newsom? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's going to be the Democratic nominee, no doubt about it. He feels emboldened by the results of the past election. But, you know, on the Republican side of the aisle, you can't look ahead to 2024 without having a post-mortem on 2022. And the fact is, and this is cold hard facts, you know, a lot of candidates who won Republican primaries and aligned themselves with President Trump lost in the general election to moderate Democrats. You know, so I think there would have been a much, much, much bigger red wave had there been a different selection of candidates. But again, the people decided in those respective states, like Tudor Dixon in Michigan, won a primary against Kevin Rinke. She lost to Gretchen Whitmer. And so I firmly believe that Republicans need to gather around one candidate, whether it's DeSantis or Trump, and that they defeat Joe Biden in 2024.
Stefan, what do you think the main, I don't know, two to three issues are, the policies that the GOP should focus on heading into the 2024 presidential season?
I think it's the same issues they discussed in 2022. It's inflation, the economy, and safety. You know, those are winning issues for Republicans, where Democrats are on the wrong side of the coin on that one. You know, Democrats are the party, and the Working Families Party, they support defunding the police. They support raising taxes, big government spending. Look at New York State. They're looking to raise lawmakers' salaries to $130,000 a year. You know, I think there was a red ripple and not a red wave because it was the caliber of candidates, not the message in 2022. So if I were the Republican Party, I would have a laser-like focus on who is the best candidate to beat a Democrat in 2024, and I would double down on the issues of the economy, safety, and especially the southern border.
Stefan, I think a lot of people are interested in the Kerry Lake situation. I know that's not a huge deal, I guess, in New York State, but what's going on there? I know she's trying to file a lawsuit. I don't know if she's trying to go the Trump route or what she's doing. Does she have any chance at this point, or is that just a dead race?
Yeah, I don't think so. And look, I'm a former journalist that entered the political arena. She was very successful in transitioning from a career in television journalism in Phoenix to a political candidate, not successful in her election. But again, you know, she should have won by 10 percentage points. And, you know, numerous articles have come out following the election saying, hey, you know, maybe she should have had a less of an impact or less of a discussion and focus on Donald Trump and then really talk more about kitchen table issues, the economy, taxes, safety, and the border. And so I think that ship has sailed, unfortunately. And the best thing we can do as a party is basically say, look, let's look at why some of our candidates lost and not repeat those mistakes in 2024.
So let's just real quick, the last thought I want from you, Stefan, is on Trump. I mean, many will say Trump is still the head of the GOP party. He's still the one who can bring tens of thousands into arenas to hear him. But as you said, I mean, he had a lot of primary candidates win because the Dems funded a lot of those campaigns only to then see those candidates lose. So just your final thoughts on Trump, DeSantis, someone other than Trump.
I think at the end of the day, the beauty of our democracy is that the people are going to decide. Party bosses will not pick. The people of whether it's New York State in a Republican primary or across the country, the people are going to decide. And whether it's Donald Trump or if DeSantis throws his hat in the ring, you know, the Republican primary voters will decide who is going to be the nominee to take on Joe Biden. And you can look at polls that says Trump is up, he's down, DeSantis is up. I mean, the only tea leaves we can read right now are the results in 2022. And they were not what the Republican Party expected. And so I think a lot of people might be looking for a fresh start, a new leaf, or some folks can double down and say, you know what, Donald Trump is my guy and he's going to win our respective primary. You know, no matter what the message is, the people will decide. And I think that's the beauty of our democracy and our Republican Party, that it's not the party that picks, it's going to be the people.
Stefan, parting thoughts before you got to go.
Well, number one, I think it's outrageous that lawmakers in New York State want to raise their pay from $110,000 to $130,000 a year. That would make them the highest paid lawmakers, and they're going to block outside income.
Inflation, baby. Don't forget, Stefan, inflation, baby.
Right. It's absolutely insane. And so I hope cooler heads prevail in Albany and block that. And, of course, I can't hang up with saying go Bills.
Awesome. Stefan Mihailu of Big Dog Strategies and, again, Financial Guys podcast co-host and also co-host of the Financial Guys radio show often. Thanks, Stefan.
You got it, guys. Go Bills.
All right. Go Bills. It's really something. I saw one little note that Kathy Hochul was certainly in favor of those pay raises.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
I think she said something to the effect of, I think they just have to work this out, right? Like, I don't know.
Speaking of New York State, Mike, we're going to go to a quick break here. I'm going to tease this. I got an interesting thing in the mail from New York State the other day, and I'll share what that was. Spoiler alert, it's something about being vaccinated. So I will touch that when we get back.
Awesome. You've got Mike Hayflick and Mike Spiraza. We are in for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle live in studio. We got about 10 more minutes to go, folks. Go Bills. Bills against Miami tonight in the snow out in Orchard Park. And boy, it'd be great to see them win that. Probably iron up that division, the AFC East. But let's see what happens. Huh? We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Financial Guys here on the Financial Guys Media Network. All righty. Welcome back. Our last mini segment here before we part and we get ready for the Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins here in Orchard Park. We are live, Mike Spiraz and Mike Hayflick. And Mike, I just have to do this. This is essential. Words from Kamala Harris.
Oh, boy.
Never let anyone take your joy from you. I call myself a joyful warrior. Right? Never let anyone take your joy from you.
Who is she talking to? I don't know. She's stoned is the next question.
And then she doesn't get any response, so she goes, right, right? Like she just
That was actually pretty good, Mike. Good for you. That was a good one.
She's the joyful warrior. She's not a very good vice president, but she is a joyful warrior in her own mind.
So Mike, I do want to touch on this because I'll forget.
Yes.
So we had to file something differently for 2023 tax purposes wise for the business, and I got the notice from the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance just telling me everything went through. You're all set. Good to go.
Good for you.
Which was great. Then I get a little surprise. A little pamphlet. And on the front it says, Vaccinate New York. Free, safe, and effective COVID-19 vaccines are available in your neighborhood. So my question to the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance is, what does that have to do with my tax filing?
Doesn't matter.
And when are we going to stop pushing a vaccine. If I didn't get it now, do you think this little pamphlet's going to make me jump for joy and go get it?
They hope.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
It's their narrative. Stop. It's their narrative. You're not going to take – you're trying to take their joy away.
Oh, I can't do it, folks. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about it.
It's just in our face every day. And now that it's like triple-demic, right?
Yeah.
It's triple-demic. Right. The flu, RSV, and COVID, of course. Yeah. Well, yeah. So a couple other little tidbits, folks, before we wrap here. North Carolina Supreme Court rejects the voter ID law. So here's what happened. In 2018, a law which required residents to present ID, right? Please present some ID before you're able to vote. It was then deemed unconstitutional in 2021. Now it's another affirmation by the North Carolina Supreme Court that policy was motivated by a racially discriminatory purpose. Mike, how is having ID racial? How is that?
So I want to go to North Carolina, and I want to go to every gas station. I want to go to the airports. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the health facilities where you have to show ID to get health care, or health mm-hmm. services.
Yep.
I want to go to all those places, and I want to make sure that they don't require an ID to do anything.
Right.
Go buy lotto tickets, ID. Go to get beer, ID. Wine, liquor, whatever, ID. All those people are motivated by racially discriminatory purpose and activity.
Right. I mean, all those things you just rattled off, isn't voting the most important thing of all those? That's when you'd say, we need to know that you're the individual that's going to put your vote in, right? Whoever it's for, we'd encourage voting, and we're never going to tell anyone who to vote for. But shouldn't you know who's voting?
And look, this is not something that is outrageous to the rest of the world. Identification is needed for everything, and it should be, right? If you open an investment account, Mike, what do you ask people? I need to see your license, please, because I need to make sure you are who you are. Right. If I sign somebody up for auto insurance, I need to know that they have an active driver's license, right? Mm-hmm. This is not, we need to do something. This is scary. Just ask for somebody for identification. They pull it out of their wallet or purse, and they give it to you. It's very, very, very simple.
These are basics. Here's another one. When you could almost think of this as the legal argument versus just simply common sense. Connecticut court rules against four biological females in trying to get trans athlete policies changed. So these four females are saying, it's been unfair. We have to change the record books. We've got to allow simply females to basically compete against other females. The scholarships are at stake. Lots of money at stake, right? So here's Connecticut saying, oh, no, you didn't really come up with enough evidence. Like this is just still, what do they say? We were unpersuaded by arguments. Isn't this common sense?
I mean, just look at what happened with the swimmer, Leah Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Just look at that situation. Obviously, there's a different playing field here, and you can't have it. And, Mike, you brought up money. I don't know how familiar people are with college sports now, but with college sports, it's called NIL. It's name mm-hmm. something and likeness, where you can get paid as a collegiate athlete now. Right. You are losing people potentially hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars of female athletes that would have gotten this stuff if it wasn't for transgender athletes taking over the sport. It just can't happen.
No, and it is happening. And I hope that people, like I think 18 states, Republican-led states, are fighting against that. It's absolute tragedy that females have like 6'5", 220-pound males that have transitioned to female competing in their same sports. It's absolutely insane. So we've got just about another minute left. Folks, if you want to go through our unique homework process, we do manage money for a living. Mike, property and casualty managing partner of TFG Home and Auto. Dust off your policies, folks. Your home, your automobiles, classic cars, motorcycles,
businesses.
RVs. Businesses. Folks, you've got to come in. If you own a business, you've got to keep your costs down. You've got to stay protected. Come and see Mike Spraza and his team.
I know Pam is rushing us out the
awesome.
Door. Sorry, Pam.
No problem. Go Bills.
That's right.
Stay tuned for Esther, folks. For Mike Spraza, I'm Mike Hayflick. This is the Financial Guys Media Network.